story of a evangelical conference, and this man who comes to the conference very, very late. And when he gets there, he finds the auditorium completely filled to the brim. Then all of a sudden, he notices there is a seat down in the very front. And so very slowly, he kind of edges his way to the front of this auditorium, not to disturb the speaker. And by the way, speakers are really happy when people try to do that sort of thing. And he finally gets to this chair that's up there in the front. And so he whispers to the lady beside the chair, is this chair saved? And she said, no, but we're praying for it. You have to be evangelical to get it, I think, somewhere along the way. But anyway, that's one of the great questions in our gospel today. Who is going to be saved? And we love to ask that question. Or to put it a different way, Jesus, who's in and who's out? And rightly, Jesus doesn't even acknowledge the question. He ignores the question and he says, forget about arithmetic. Everybody is open to come. Everybody's open to this relationship with Jesus Christ. Everybody's open to this salvation. And then he makes this very cryptic statement, a very interesting and cryptic statement where he says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. What does that mean? Now, even though it's a metaphor, there is a moment in our spiritual lives when you and I actually choose to enter through the narrow gate. To be very simplistic maybe about it, it's when you and I say yes to God in such a way that we take ourselves out of the center of the universe, we place Jesus at the center of our universe. Or to put it a different way, it's when you and I say yes to Jesus in such a way that we're no longer merely believers, but we really become followers. We become intentional disciples of Jesus Christ. So what does that look like? So allow me to tell you a story of someone who strove, I guess, or strived to enter through this narrow gate. Someone who really was bound and determined in his relationship with Jesus Christ to take himself out of the center of all this and somehow place God into the center of all this. In his book called The Irresistible Revolution, Shane Claiborne talks about growing up as a child in the Bible Belt of eastern Tennessee. Then he goes on, strangely, in his story to talk about how we have domesticated our prophets and our saints. And he writes, we drained our prophets and our saints from their passion and trapped them in stained glass windows. For St. Francis, it's a birdbath. Martin Luther King gets his holiday. Jesus gets commercialized, plastic nightlights. The bobblehead, Jesus is my buddy, for our cars. Then he goes on to say that he remembers Christianity in his younger days of being something that's comfortable, safe, and trendy. He remembers church as being where the cute girls were, free junk food, and cheap snowboard trips. Then he goes on to talk about how as a teenager, as a high school kid, he had a sincere conversion in his life. He went to one of these Jesus festivals that happen all the time. I've been to a couple of them myself a long, long time ago, where there's a lot of bands, a lot of speakers. One of the speakers asked the question, do you want to accept Jesus Christ personally into your life? And he responded to that. And he said he was born again. Then he said he went back again and again, and he got born again and again and again. He said, I think I've been born again maybe 6 times or maybe 8 times. I've been born again over and over and over again. And then he thought to himself, okay, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, but is there more to this? What does it mean for me to be a follower of Jesus Christ? What's it mean for me to enter through the narrow gate? Fast forward for a moment up to his college days. He's going to college in Eastern University in Pennsylvania, and he wants to meet someone who really has entered through the narrow gate, someone who is intentional about being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he says, I kept on running into these dead people all the time, like the Desert Fathers, St. Francis, St. Clair, Therese of Lisieux, Dorothy Day, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Oscar Romero. He wanted to talk to somebody who was alive and did this. All of a sudden, Mother Teresa comes to his mind. So he writes a letter to her. Now, to make a very complicated story very, very short, in 2 o'clock in the morning one day, he finally gets Mother Teresa on the phone. And he's talking to her. And he says, I want to come and meet you. I want to see you. And she says, yeah, come. Spend the summer. And so he does. And he finishes this whole part of the story by writing this. After Mother Teresa died, I was in an interview with some reporter who asked me if Mother Teresa's spirit will live on. To be honest, Mother Teresa died a long time ago when she gave her life to Jesus, when she entered into the narrow gate. The joy and the compassion that the world finds so magnetic about Mother Teresa are only Jesus's, and that is eternal. I saw the eternal love all over Calcutta. I did indeed see Christ in Mother Teresa, but I found Christ in the lepers, in the children, in the destitute. I even began to recognize Christ in me as he begins to enter through the narrow gate. For a couple reasons, I think that brings a certain amount of real good spiritual food for us. Let's imagine here for a moment that you and I had the same drive and the same desire to walk through the narrow gate, to be that intentional disciple like Shane Claiborne, like Mother Teresa. Wouldn't you and I just turn Johnstown on its head? Wouldn't we set a fire in Johnstown? Wouldn't we really, at that point, really be beacons of Christian life right here in Johnstown? And then that brings me to the great big question, like I'm sure you're thinking about it in your own mind. Well, who made the gate so narrow? Was it Jesus or is it us because of our resistance, our objections, and our excuses? And forgive me for using a story that I have used before, but I've told this story before, and it's a Peanuts cartoon about Charlie Brown. He gets up, to make point of all this, he gets up in the morning, it's winter time, and there's just a fresh coat of snow outside. It's cold, and it's perfect for skiing. So Charlie Brown puts on layer after layer after layer of clothes. He puts on all these big gloves on. He puts on his skis. And he goes to the door, and he has so much clothes on and so much stuff, he can't fit through the door. And so in classic Charlie Brown way, he screams at the top of his lungs and begins to feel very, very sorry for himself because he can't fit through the door. And I think that is kind of important for us to ponder this whole thing. And let me be personal for just a moment. You know, if I really desire to be a follower of Jesus Christ, if I really have a passion to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, somewhere along the way, what stops me is that being bundled up with so much stuff, so many excuses, so many objections, so much fear and so much anxiety that I simply can't fit through the door. Then what do I do? But I just simply scream out to God and say, where are you? Why aren't you helping me do this? As I feel very, very sorry for myself. So let me ask the question once again. Who made the gate so narrow? Was it Jesus Or really, is it all of us? The gate is plenty wide if we're seeking for Jesus. It's plenty wide if that's what we're looking for. You know, being a Christian is a challenge. It's a risk. But folks, it always has been. There is never a time when being a follower of Jesus has been easy, comfortable, or just simply something that's not hard to do. Jesus himself never played it safe. And it's all that this walking through the door is somehow you and I really, really beginning to live the gospel and to be able to let go of all of our stuff, all of our fears, all of our guilt, all of our objections, all of our excuses. The door is plenty wide enough. Now, the choice to me, I think, in all this is, am I going to be Charlie Brown? Am I Charlie Brown? Or am I like a Shane Claiborne? And folks, you don't have to be Shane Claiborne. You don't have to go to Calcutta. I'm not going to go to Calcutta. I don't think my mission is in Calcutta. Somewhere along the way, for better or for worse, I think my mission is right here. So I'm supposed to walk through the narrow gate right here. Nowhere else in my mind, for me. Now, I'm going to close with this. I was wondering if I should share this with you. You have to listen carefully. I'm going to read two sentences to you. And I thought, well, they might not like this. Maybe I should share it. Maybe it won't. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. I'm going to share it with you guys. It's two sentences. This is from Ruth Burrow's book called To Believe in Jesus. And she has a chapter called The Narrow Gate. And she writes this: unless we pass through the narrow gate, we can never realize our destiny. Unless we pass through the narrow gate, we'll never realize our destiny, never achieve our goal. There's no other way to God. There's no other way to God than for you and I to enter through the narrow gate.